Blog Talk Radio.
Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince coming at y'all from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Out there in Blog Talk Radio land, hope today finds you doing well. I certainly am well myself. If you would like to call into the show, be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call and talk about anything that's related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. I will not be accepting any character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, random insults, strawman arguments, things of that sort, excessive profanity, trolling. If you think you would like to engage in those type of activities coming into this program, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye and you will suffer the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. Okay, so I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me, but just be respectful in your interactions on this program. Okay, so having said all that, I hope everybody's doing well out there. It's somewhat of a slow news cycle this week, but of course, you know, ever since the beginning of the year, no week has really been a slow week as far as, you know, news coming around and whatever. And I want to start out by saying first and foremost, okay, I want people to understand this about me. First and foremost, I am a Christian, a born-again Christian, okay? I don't take that term very loosely. A lot of people, they'll think because they do good things that makes them a Christian. But I am a Christian who does believe the Bible. And I just don't pick up that title when it suits me or when it benefits me. I'm a Christian totally, okay? I believe the Bible. I run into a lot of Christians and they talk like, you know, they can quote a few scriptures and everything, but they're really not into the Bible. And some of those who are in the Bible, they'll twist scriptures around to fit their own worldview and whatever. I explained this on my other program, Profit or Loss, that there's an exegesis and an eisegesis of the scriptures that goes on. And a lot of people eisegete the scriptures, which means they read the scriptures and they twist them to the point where it fits their personal worldview. But see, I don't do that. I don't just say I'm a Christian because, oh, I'm a good person, or I do good things or stuff like that. I say it because I believe what's written in the Bible. And a lot of people, you can be a good person and not believe in the Bible. You can still be a good person. You can help feed the hungry and have hunger drives and help clothe the poor and everything. And all that's good stuff. I'm not saying that's bad stuff. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're really missing out on eternity. And I don't take that lightly. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I don't care what you think or whatever, you might say, well, that Christianity stuff is not for me. This is not about whether it's for you or not. But if you don't know Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and his finished work on the cross, when he hung, bled, and died, and he rose again 3 days later, if you don't know Jesus in that aspect, it's not going to be a good thing for you when you die, okay? A lot of people equate being a conservative with being a Christian, and that is far from the truth, because I know some conservatives who are not Christian. They say a lot of good things and whatever, and I agree a lot with the with their worldview, a lot of these with the conservatives. But just because you are a conservative does not make you to be a Christian. There's some Christians out here that will say, you know, hey, Donald Trump was a Christian. No, Donald Trump was not a Christian. Did I vote for him? Yes, I did. But see, I'm not voting for you based on your Christianity, basically. I'm voting for you based on policy, what policy you follow. Because if your policy doesn't line up with my worldview, then I'm not voting for you. And so a lot of times people say, oh, you're a Republican, you're a conservative. And I do say I lean conservative. But really, first and foremost, I am a born-again Christian more than anything. First and foremost, above politics, above political parties, above all that type of stuff. But having said all that, because I am a Christian, that means that I'm going to be in league with the truth. And when I speak out on things, I speak out basically from a biblical perspective. When I speak out against abortion, why do I speak out against abortion? Is it because I'm one of these crazy men, you know, you don't understand women's rights and all that crazy mess? No. The reason why I am against abortion is because abortion is the abrupt taking of a human life for no reason at all. That's why I'm against abortion. Has nothing to do with my politics. And see, one thing I understand as a Christian, I don't allow politics to dictate to me how to believe. I allow what I believe to dictate my politics. And I see too many Christians out there. They'll sit there, they'll say they're against this, they say they're against that, but then when it comes time to vote, they'll vote for the person who seemingly is against what they are for, or who is seemingly for what they are against. I see it so many times. People will say, oh, I don't agree with abortion, but then they'll vote for a candidate who supports abortion. And then when you ask them, you know, well, why, you know, yada, 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 they act like abortion is a small issue. You know, I don't agree with it, but, you know, I think abortion is okay when, you know, when a mother's life is in danger or anything like that. No. That should be a top issue, because you're talking about the taking of a human life. Same thing with transgenderism, same thing with homosexuality, things like that. You have a lot of people that say they're against this stuff, but then they'll vote for a candidate who supports it. Now, the only thing I can say why people do that, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says the devil is the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. So whoever, if God is not the author of confusion, who's the author of confusion? It's the devil. And basically, there's another scripture that says that, you know, choose you this day who you're going to serve. If you're going to serve God, serve him. If you're going to serve, you know, the devil, serve him. It doesn't go exactly like that, but it's a choice you have to make. Are you going to serve good or are you going to serve evil? You can't straddle the fence and have your foot on one side and then on another side. And folks, I'm not trying to preach or anything like that. I'm not a pastor or anything like that. I just know what the word says. I know what the word of God says. And too many people out there call themselves Christians, but when it comes to their politics, they'll vote for un-Christian policies because it's attached to a candidate that they favor more than another one. No, Donald Trump is not a Christian. I will say that. But his policies are better than what we are seeing today. And those of you all out there calling yourselves Christians and you voting for someone because of what you heard on CNN or MSNBC or something like that, then I really think you need to evaluate your Christianity. And I don't care if you are a pastor. I don't care if you are an evangelist. I don't care if you are a bishop or a deacon or minister or whatever. You need to figure out, hey, am I really a Christian? Or am I just chasing after personalities? Now, see, if you're not a Christian, see, I can understand where you're coming from. But if you call yourself a Christian and you say you're against homosexuality, you're against abortion and whatever, then why do we still keep voting for candidates that support those things that we are supposedly against? I had to start the show off like this because I'm seeing it too many times. Given I see this too many times among black people, because you know when one of the things you hear about with black people is black people love going to church. They love going to church. Oh, they love to have them some church. Oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm in the increase. I'm looking for my breakthrough. Them kind of people. But when it comes down to who they're going to vote for, they'd rather vote for skin color and politics than they do the truth. How a Christian can support an organization called Black Lives Matter befuddles me. It boggles my mind how a Christian can support that ungodly group, a group that was started on false pretenses. You hear a lot of people say, oh, well, when Black Lives Matter first started, they had good intentions. No, they did not. If you are started because of a lie, you do not have good intentions. You may think you have good intentions, but you really don't have good intentions because Black Lives Matter was started off by two lies, Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown. Both of these innocent kids, and I use innocent very loosely, they attack someone. And because they attacked that person, they ended up losing their lives. Trayvon Martin was circling George Zimmerman's car. George Zimmerman went out to see where where Trayvon Martin had gone. When he returned to his truck, Trayvon Martin attacked him. And they said he was on the ground, he had George Zimmerman on the ground, grounding and pounding him MMA style. Now, what is George Zimmerman supposed to do? Some stories went so far to say that Trayvon Martin even tried to grab George Zimmerman's gun. Now, what was George Zimmerman supposed to do? Just let the boy beat him down, beat him senseless? George Zimmerman had to protect himself. Now, I'm not sitting here trying to defend George Zimmerman as a person, because George Zimmerman turned out to be a jerk. But in that instance, George Zimmerman needed to defend himself. The other case with Michael Brown. Michael Brown had just strong-armed robbed a convenience store. We saw it on the videotape. He's walking down the street. Police officer gets a report of a robbery at a convenience store. See some kids matching the description, tells them to get to the side of the road. They come out with the expletives. The police officer comes. Darren Wilson encounters Michael Brown. Michael Brown attacks the police officer. And the police officer pulled out his gun and shot Michael Brown. Michael Brown wasn't an innocent victim. He wasn't the gentle giant everybody made him out to be. But after that, people were like, oh, you know, because he had a partner with him. And why this partner didn't end up in jail? Because this partner was with him when they robbed the convenience store. He said, well, Michael Brown got down on the ground. He was on his knees and he had his hands up and he said, don't shoot. And the police officer shot him anyway. Now, you all know the old saying that the lie can make a trip around the world four times while the truth is still getting its boots on. And once we heard that Michael Brown was on the ground, on his knees, hands up, and he said, don't shoot, and the police officer shot him, we all just automatically jumped to conclusions and just jumped on that and said, oh, he was on the ground. We didn't wait till the evidence came out or anything. And it turns out, Michael Brown was shot because he attacked an officer. But he was unarmed. Let me tell you all something. If you got full use of your arms and your legs and whatever body part, you know, like regular people do, you are not unarmed. Your elbow can be a weapon. Your fist can be a weapon. Even your forehead can be a weapon. Your knee can be a weapon. Your foot can be a weapon. So Michael Brown was not unarmed. And Michael Brown, from what I saw, he was bigger than I am. I think they said he was 6'4". Shoot, I'm 6'2.5". He's a big dude. But when the evidence pointed out and said, no, Michael Brown was not on the ground. He was not shot in the back. Of course, some people didn't want to believe that because they're like, you know, this is what happens to us black people. You know, we want to see the evidence. And the evidence said, no, he wasn't shot in the back. He was shot in the top of the head because they said he was charging the police officer like a bull, like a raging bull. And the police officer shot him in the top of the head. All that evidence came out. But we still want to believe that Michael Brown was on the ground, hands up, don't shoot. That's where Black Lives Matter came into play. So don't tell me that Black Lives Matter was started with good intentions. No, it was not. It wasn't started with good intentions. And of course, we know we've heard about one of their proponents this year, Patrice Cullors, purchasing million-dollar properties with the proceeds that went to Black Lives Matter. And you know why I tend to believe that she took those funds? Let me tell you why I believe that. First of all, Black Lives Matter received about, I think, $10 billion. In donations last year. Did you see any of them coming to straighten up the project areas or to help kids get a leg up in school or to teach young men how to be fathers or anything like that? Did you see any of that? But lo and behold, we look up, Patrice Cullors buying her million-dollar properties in California. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. What the heck is going on here? Or as this comedian I watch on YouTube says, what in the haberdasheries and the hemoglobin is going on here? And now everyone wants to get woke. It's infected our sports. It's infected our sports entertainment. One of the main reasons why I have dropped out of the NFL because I'm tired of turning on the TV and looking and you see a statement in the end zone saying stop racism. And the only reason why that comes out is because of certain little incidents that have been going on these past several years that had nothing to do with racism. Nothing to do with racism. And whenever we talk about racism, we only talk about the white on black or white on everybody else variety. Because only white people can be racist, according to the race hustlers and the race baiters and the apostles of blackness. Those are the only people who can be racist are white people. White people, they were born to be racist. White people have privilege. The same incident that a black person gets killed in, a white person gets taken to Burger King. That's how they tell you. And this mess, this wokeness has infected almost every area of life. And now we're going around talking about, oh, we black people, we can't get a leg up. The police always pulling us over for no reason at all. And then when you show them the opposite, that that's not what's going on, they still want to believe what they want to believe. That's what they call cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is when you show people facts, irrefutable facts. You show them the truth, and they still want to believe the same way they've been believing all along. And when you're dealing with a person who's caught up in cognitive dissonance, there's really no conversation to be had. There's no conversation to be had because this person is stuck in their world. Or as I like to say it sometimes, stuck on stupid. They never stop and think and say, wait a minute, I'm seeing facts here. Wait a minute. So you're telling, oh my goodness, they're using me. And that's exactly what the politicians and the news media is doing to the black race right now. They're just using them for their advantage, to get votes, to get money, to get ratings. That's all they're doing. And sad to say, a lot of people in the black race, they're all too happy to allow the politicians to use them. They don't care about facts. All they care about, oh, I'm the victim. Okay, because I'm the victim, that gives me an excuse for why I do what I do. You know, they tell them, oh, these riots, this is the voice of the people who want to be heard. Oh, so the only way I can be heard is to make a Molotov cocktail and toss it into a business and burn it down, or attack innocent people on the street that had nothing to do with what I'm mad about. That's how I get my voice heard. Or break into a store and steal thousands of dollars of items. And you got politicians like AOC talking about, you know, hey, you know, they basically, I don't even know what she's talking about anyway. That woman, she sounds like a whiny 14-year-old. Who hasn't been exactly versed on the ways of life. How in the world she got in the office, that tells you a lot about the people who voted for her. because she has no intellectual dealings up top, no gray matter up in her head. But we talk like she is so eloquent and she knows, she can understand how we feel in all this crazy mess. But this is the problem that we're facing in today's society. This is the atmosphere. And we all act like the United States is the only place where racism is, where racism reigns. This is the only place where white supremacists are trying to overtake everything. And I'm so sick and tired of that word, white supremacist. It just gets on my nerve. Y'all want to talk about something that triggers me is that white supremacist, white supremacy. And the thing, like I said, the thing that bothers me even more is when you got so-called Christians, so-called ministers and preachers of the gospel talking this garbage. White supremacy. Because a lot of these people, they don't read, they don't research, they get their news source basically from ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN. And they think, oh, yeah, these people are telling me the truth. Yeah, keep on thinking they're telling you the truth. We're the only country, when we go to an international event like the Olympics, we're the only country where the participants will turn their back on the flag. You don't see other countries doing that. And not only that, I remember a few years ago in the NFL, these wrestlers talking about they'll kneel to the American flag, but they stood up for, when they went to play in England, they stood up for God Save the Queen. Oh, you'll stand up and put your hand over your heart for that. But when you go back to your own country, oh, my country is so bad. I ain't standing because they oppress black people. Black people are not being oppressed in the United States. There's so much white supremacy. And the main reason why this is why I tell people why I do not use my skin color as a trump card. Because I can see instances of where I have failed. And it wasn't because of any white person. It was because of me. Didn't study hard enough, didn't push myself hard enough, didn't have enough determination. I can't blame that on white people. And I actually saw a person the other day, I was watching this video, and this black person actually said that the reason why black folks kill black folks is because the white people have pushed us into the ghettos and we're living on top of one another. So what are we supposed to do? I say, you got to be kidding me. Please tell me people are not this stupid. Now, you got white people living on top of white people. You don't hear about them shooting up everybody. Every little shortcoming that you can point at in the black race, the apostles of blackness, they'll always put that burden on white folks and say, white folks are the reason why we're killing one another. So you mean to tell me, because you didn't like the way that person looked at you, and you pulled out a gun and you filled him full of holes, sprinkled him with pepper, that's the white man's fault for doing that? Because you're not mature enough to understand people are going to give you dirty looks sometimes. But you felt disrespected. You pulled out a gun and bam, bam, bam. No, officer, don't take me to prison. It's the white man's fault. And like I said, the thing that ticks me off the worst are people who call themselves ministers of the gospel and they believe it's garbage. Kyle Rittenhouse, acquitted. Had Christian people talking about, oh, yeah, they'll acquit him, but if he was black, they would have shot him. He'd be dead. Oh, so can you explain the, I don't know, the Beltway snipers, DC snipers? Can you explain that? Both of them survived. Of course, one of them, you know, he got the death penalty. But the police didn't shoot them down when they encountered them. Both of them were taken in alive. There are other instances where black people have committed crimes and they were taken in alive. But the only reason why we think like that is because the cases with the white people killing the black person, those are the ones that really make the news. And that's why we believe that, because this is what we see on the news. We think we know what's going on in the world by watching the news. And this brings me up to a case that came up this week. Of course, I'm pretty sure you all have heard of it. Dude named Jussie Smollett. Now, I remember Jussie Smollett from about 20-something years ago when he was a little kid. Used to play on one of these Friday night, thank God it's Friday show called On Our Own. It was a comedy, played alongside Family Matters and, you know, and all that stuff. And the Smollett family, they were fairly, you know, well-known. Now, this family, they had a father. I think the father was from the former Soviet Union. He's a white guy. And their mother was black. And now, I didn't know anything about Jussie Smollett playing on a TV show or anything like that. They said, oh, he plays on Empire. I was like, Empire? I never watched Empire. I never seen one episode of it because, you know, I see people like Taraji P. Henson and what's that other guy, the light-skinned guy with the pretty eyes. I forgot his name. He played in Iron Man. I forgot his name. But I tend not to watch black shows because, once again, you get that woke rhetoric and everything. And I'm sick of that. I just want to, if I'm watching something, I just want to be entertained. That's all. I don't want to hear about your political leanings or anything like that. You know, same thing when I go to a movie. I don't care about all that woke, that wokeness. This is what we go through. No, no, it's propaganda. But I didn't know he played in this show. And when I heard the name, I said, Jussie Smollett. I said, oh, okay, he's one of the Smolletts. Now, folks, when that story first came out, well, here's the story. I guess Jussie Smollett's at home playing video games or something like that. You know, I don't know. But he may have played deep into the night. And all of a sudden, he got some hankering for some Subway sandwiches. And he's like, it's cold outside, but hey, I want that Subway sandwich. So he's on his way to Subway. It's minus 16 degrees outside in Chicago. Chicago gets very cold. And he's walking down the street, and two white guys with MAGA hats encountered him in the street. And they seen him, and they were like, hey, ain't you that boy on that show Empire? You know what, boy? Let me tell you something. This is MAGA country. They beat him down, put a noose around his neck, and they poured bleach on him. That's how the story goes. Now, right off the bat, without even really examining the situation, you already know the man is lying. Just so happens, two people wearing MAGA hats, and they recognize him from Empire. Now, here's the thing that gets me. If you are a so-called white supremacist, You know, because, you know, Trump supporters are white supremacists. That's one thing you got to understand. Trump supporters are white supremacists. If you are a white supremacist, I don't think you're going to be sitting down watching Empire. More or less, you're going to recognize who Jesse Smollett is. If you appointed him out before this case happened, I can appoint him out. Which one of these guys is Jesse Smollett? I don't know. I've heard of him. I've seen him on TV, but that doesn't mean I recognize him. So he gets up there and he's like, you know, he spins this yarn about being attacked by two guys in MAGA hats, talking about this MAGA country in Chicago in the middle of the night. Minus 16 degrees Fahrenheit outside, as if these guys are out looking for black people on TV shows to give them a piece of their mind. And when we first heard the story, it was like, no, Hey, 2 o'clock in the morning, going to Subway to get some sandwiches, and it's 16 degrees below zero outside. Something's not right about this. And he just happens to run into these two guys. And then, like, you know, this is MAGA country. We knew from the beginning he was lying. But you know what? There were people out there who were willing to believe him anyway. That's what you call cognitive dissonance. You still have people today that say they still support Jesse Smollett. We still support you, Jesse. Or as Dave Chappelle eloquently referred to him as Juicy Smoulier. But we knew from the beginning that this boy was lying. Ain't no way. And it sounds just like someone just made it up and whatever. And of course, we tend to believe it because these guys are wearing MAGA hats, which means they're connected to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is a racist, and anyone who is attached to Donald Trump is a racist. And when the evidence came out, of course, you had a lot of people out there who wanted to, you know, they wanted to believe it because they believe the atmosphere we're living in, you know, it's not good for black people, you know, we can't get ahead and whatever. And so the apostles of blackness, they were like, oh, my goodness. Really? When is this going to stop? And the story started unraveling almost immediately, but you had certain people who wanted to believe Jesse Smollett. They just wanted to believe him. And they still believe him because now Jesse Smollett, you know, he's been tried and he's been found guilty on 5 out of 6 counts. Now, each count carries a maximum sentence of 3 years in prison. I will be willing to bet you $200 that he gets a slap on the hand and probably serves no more than probation. I'll be willing to bet that. And I'm not a betting person. Kim Fox, who was the DA or something up there in Chicago, I can't remember. She dropped all charges. Just drop them. You clearly knew the guy was lying. I'm pretty sure Kim Fox, deep down within herself, she knew this boy was lying. But, oh, I'm black. He's black. I got to keep my loyalties. And, folks, when it comes to this black thing, When we come across these swirly people, and when I say that, I don't mean that disrespectfully. When I say swirly people, I mean people who have a black parent and a white parent. Why do we always give credit to the black side? like Barack Obama when he got into the White House. Oh, he's the first black person to, well, he's got a white mother. He's got a white mother. He's not truly 100% black. And a lot of these people who are mixed race, we wanna say that they're black. No. You're just gonna concentrate on the black side? What about the white side? I don't know who that guy was a few years ago who did a speech at the Black BET Awards. I forgot his name. Greg Williams or something like that. He did a speech. And he was talking about, you know, all the things that black people go through in this country and, you know, yada, yada, you know, police and financial institutions and all this and all the other get up and everything. And dude, if you didn't look at him real well, he looked white. But he had a white mother and a black father. Now, had it been me, let's say I'm a black guy and I got a white wife and I heard you making that speech up there. When you came to me, I would have knocked you upside your head. I would have been like, well, how are you going to disrespect your mother up there talking about what white people are doing and everything, and you got a white mother? Boy, I'm going to go upside your head. But you know what? The mother's probably like, yes, I'm white and I got privilege. Yes, son, go ahead and talk. Man, I would, nah. You wouldn't be alive today had it not been for your white mother. So I'm going to go upside your head. And you need to apologize to everybody in the entertainment world for disrespecting your mother on TV like that. But of course, we don't see it like that. Oh, that speech was so deep. It was so intriguing. Oh, he spoke the truth. No, he spoke a lot. That's what he spoke. I forgot the guy's name. Anybody want to tell me what his name was? But I would have gone upside his head. Why we got to concentrate on the black side? I'm black, I'm black, I'm black, I'm black, I'm black. No, no, you're black and white. Excuse me. And even though, you know, I got some white in me, both of my parents were black. Okay. So I can say I'm black. I didn't have a white parent and a black parent. I had two black parents. So I can say I'm black. But if you're the product of a mixed marriage, a mixed relationship, you really can't jump into this black thing. And it seems like they're the ones that are jumping into the black thing more than anyone else. We're black. We're black. Yes, we're the oppressed. No, you're not. And folks, I'm going to tell you, we got racism in the country. Yes, there are white people that hate black people. But that's not our issue. That's really not the issue that is facing black people today. The issues we're facing today are fatherless homes, welfare mothers, kids who can't act right in school because their parents don't want to be parents. And then when these people get up, they grow up and they become adults and things are not happening for them like they think they should be happening. They want to blame the system when no, it was you. Your parents didn't raise you right. And those of us around them, we enable the parents to be bad parents. We never sit the parents down and say, look, we can only do so much, but you're the parent. Your child comes to you. When they don't live with me, they live with you. They need discipline at home, because if they're not getting it at home, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to be respectful to adults when they get out there in, you know, away from home. Now, I don't need you coming and blaming me because your child acts like a dingbat every time he comes to school. Why are y'all always picking on my child? Why are y'all always picking on my child? I'll tell you why we're picking on your child. Because your child is a dingbat. And the reason why your child is a dingbat is because you are a dingbat. You don't raise your child. You haven't matured yourself, so you don't know how to raise your child. So you got a dingbat raising a dingbat. And that's why your child is a dingbat. You like the sound of that? But we have so many people who want to coddle to these parents. Oh, we shouldn't, let's not be so hard on the parents. And the reason why they're not so hard on the parents because they're afraid they're not going to get the parents' delicious dollars. I told you all about my wife working at a daycare. And last year they had to, you know, they had the kids that come in for virtual learning because the parents had to work, and they would come to the daycare, and they were supposed to have their computers, open up their computers, and do their remote learning. And you had certain kids every single day who wouldn't have their computers or whatever they had to learn on charged up. They didn't know their passwords. But the administrators would get on the teachers because the kids didn't have their computers charged. Why are you getting on the teachers? See, you just want to throw your teachers under the bus. And once again, this is a Black Christian church I'm talking about. Instead of saying, look, parents, we need to talk. Look, we notice every day your son, your daughter, they come in here, their stuff's not charged up. They're not ready for their remote learning. What's going on? We can only do so much. But you don't put this thing. Now, if your child fails to learn, don't blame us. You can't even do something as simple as tell your child, okay, son, daughter, you're home. Hook your computer up. So by the time you wake up in the morning, it'll be fully charged. Doesn't take any kind of work. Doesn't take any kind of work. But then your child fails, and then you want to blame us because your child failed. Hey, I'm not responsible for getting your child up early in the morning when they're supposed to be awake. I know when I was coming up in school, I learned a habit. Okay, when I hear that alarm clock or when mom cuts on that light, it's time to get up. Yeah, I'm tired and everything, but it's time for me to get up. And a lot of these parents, they're not being parents. You know why? Because they haven't grown up themselves. And you know why they haven't grown up? Because they're going through this cycle. They had immature parents raising them. And you can go back probably generations and figure out the reason why the kids today are the way they are because they had a whole line of immature adults raising their kids. And when their kids get older, they're immature too. That lady in Baltimore who got mad because her child had to be dropped all the way back to the ninth grade. He was a senior. He was supposed to graduate this year. And this was in Baltimore. Baltimore has become quite a buzzword here in the past couple of years. And she was mad because the boy had only, I think he passed like three classes in those 4 years he was in school. And he had, I think his average... What was his average? I think it was a 0.7 or something like that, or 1.7, somewhere around there. But he was in the middle of his class. And I'm sitting here like, are you serious? And she's mad at the school, which the school probably does bear some responsibility, because I can tell you these public schools are some of the worst places to put your children. I'm just going to tell you that right now. But still, there need to be a responsibility from the parent. She's sitting there like, I didn't know this. I didn't know this. Your child was going to school for 4 years. You didn't one time say, hey, when's your report card coming? You got any homework? And then she wants to sit up there and say, this wasn't my fault. This was the school's fault. No, it was your fault. And even though the schools may be crappy or whatever, it's still the responsibility of your child's education still falls on the parents, because we are supposed to get this the school districts or whatever. We're supposed to get them in line. We're supposed to get these school systems in line. But her son was in the 12th grade. She was expecting him. She was probably like, yeah, my son's going to graduate in a couple of months. I found out, wait a minute, he's not graduating? Why? Your son is a 0.7 per grade point average. He's only passed three classes since he's been here 4 years ago. And she gets mad. And they showed her on TV, her son sitting there playing a video game. They wouldn't show his face. But her son's sitting there playing a video game. She's sitting there like, yeah, son, we're going to get through this. Don't you worry. Get through this. Now, what you need to do is take that doggone video game system, put it in the trash. No, don't put it in the trash. Sell it on eBay or whatever. Take it to the thrift shop or whatever and say, nah, you ain't playing another video game till we see them grades get up. But you know what? By that time, it's probably too late, because this boy is practically a man now. He's about 18 years old now. He'd probably fight his mama. But if she had started when he was a child, when he was an infant, she wouldn't have to go through this right now. And this is the problem that I see in this social justice atmosphere we have today. We want to blame somebody else for our problems that we have brought on ourselves. That's the reason why I call this show Black by Color Only. I'm not depending on a white man to do something for me that I need to do for myself. And I'm not going to blame the white man because I failed. Look, don't try to give me a leg up if I have to take a test or something like that. To me, that's the basis of racism, because you're telling me because I'm black, I can't meet up to the standards of white folks? No, give me the same standard you give to the white folks, to the Asians, to everybody else. Give me an even playing field. Don't sit there and look, oh, you're a black folk. You're black. Okay, we're going to spot you a few points on the tester. No. To me, that's racist. Oh, you're black. Oh, you can't meet up to the white folks. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? Do you all understand what I'm saying? This is the atmosphere we see ourselves in. And now a lot of us go around like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, we black people, we can't get a leg up on anybody. You know, the white man, ain't going to let us get ahead. But you got black people who are millionaires and billionaires in this country, which... Most 99% of white people in this country don't have that status, but we still want to cry about white privilege and white supremacy. This one guy told me the other day, he said, and this is a black guy, he's a preacher. He said, you know, the reason why I'm prosperous is because I know how to move in the system. But he wants to still talk about racist cops and everything and stuff like that. And I said, and I was telling myself, I read that, I said, well, that's how white people got rich. They knew how to move in the system. See, if you don't know how to move in the system, I don't care what your color is, you're not going to gain the benefits of the system. So why was it so special that because you're black and you're prosperous You did something different? No, you didn't do anything different. You did the same thing that the white people did to get prosperous. What are you talking about? We got this image in our head that, oh, if this person is white and rich, they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. As if they didn't have to work hard to get to gain their prosperity. And see, it deeply offends me. It does. Because I see people as human. I don't see you as black, white, and all this and everything. Now, I'm not going to say I don't see color. But I guarantee you, if I saw Bring It Boy Yee, who is in my chat room right now, I say, oh, that's a white guy. Okay. That's as far as it goes with me. So, okay, he's white. But he's still human. But we think we black people, we need special treatment because we can't get above the white folks. Okay, well, talk to the Nigerians. Talk to them Africans that come across the pond who are blacker than anybody. Tell them they can't get a leg up. Some of the most prosperous people in this country are Nigerians. Oh, let's talk about the Asians, the Chinese, the Vietnamese, the Filipinos who come over here and they take over everything, the Koreans, the Indians. But no, it's the white man. He's holding back everybody. Anyway. Yeah, Brian Boy, I see through the white. I don't care you're white. I just say, hey, you're white. Okay, he's white. Big deal. Do I need to act a certain way around you because you're white or because you're black or because you're Asian or because you're Indian? Or no, you're human. And see, this is how it is. This is what I say. As a Christian, as a born-again Christian, you can't sit there and talk about the grievances of black people when Christianity gives us all an even playing field. And I know you got people out there talking about, no, that's not what the Bible says. And, you know, the Bible talks about slavery and everything because you don't understand the context of the Word of God. That's why. But anyway, let me stop it right there. I did not know I had gone through an hour. But let me stop it right there. Let me get some advertisements up. And when I'm on the other side, I'll take some of you all's calls. You all are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol. Six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with cutthroat precision and accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, running his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on this case also brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present day, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Roof Butte not only holds mystery, but also a dark cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt has been hired to find out what is going on without getting caught up in its death and destruction in the process. Night Owls is first in a new series of mysteries featuring Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.amazon.com/dp/1500284491. That's https://www.amazon.com/dp/1500284491. It is also available in both digital and book form. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Order it today.
Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you all doing well out there today. Guest call-in number is 646-478-5284, 646-478-5284. And, you know, before I left, I was talking about, you know, the state of this country and why people believe certain things and, you know, why we black people, we tend to want to stick together and, with the issues instead of sticking together in the truth, including those of us who call ourselves Christians, you know. And, of course, we had the case this week with Jussie Smollett, or like I said, he was affectionately called by Dave Chappelle, Juicy Smoolier, you know, he's been found guilty on 5 out of 6 counts, and he faces 15 years in prison, which I don't want to sound mean when I say this, but he should serve every last one of those years. But I think they're just going to give him a smack on the hand, give him probation, say, don't you do that anymore, Jussie. You know, but you still got people who want to believe that that's what happened with Jussie. Same thing happened with, what's his name last year? Bubba Wallace. Once again, another half black, half white dude who's more proud of his black side than he is of the white side. He said someone hung up a noose in his garage. And of course, what this tends to do is, you know, people are starting to see through this crap, and they're like, wait a minute, you know. So when they hear one of these incidents or whatever, they're like, yeah, right, okay, boy crying wolf. But here's the thing, though. You got certain people like the apostles of blackness. They, no matter how many times you cry wolf, they're going to believe you. They're going to believe you anyway, you know. You know, they still gonna believe you. You can cry wolf 10 million times. You cry wolf that 10 millionth in one time, they're still going to believe you. Because, once again, we're dealing with cognitive dissonance right here. We're dealing with people who, they don't give a flip about the truth. They want to believe that this has happened. And not only that, even when it's proven that it didn't happen, they still want to fight for their cause instead of saying, you know what, Walt, you all, we were wrong. Has Al Sharpton ever apologized for Tawana Brawley? Nope. Anyone going to apologize for demonizing Darren Wilson? Nope. And let one of their own commit an act, and they just turn the other way. Oh, nothing to see here. They keep throwing that lie around that white people are the ones who commit the most mass shootings. That's a lie. 75% of mass shootings are committed by black people. How can you say that, Vincent? How can you say that? Well, mass shooting basically involves three or more people. Now, see, we got certain little filters, you know, we try to filter out, you know, what a mass shooting is. But let's just be honest. A mass shooting involves a multiple number of people. But when we hear about a school mass shooting, we're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a mass shooting. But when Ray Ray shoots up a barbecue in someone's backyard, we don't count that as a mass shooting, which it is. That's why I can say what I've just said. But anyway, before I go any further, I need to shoot some fruit bats, man. Conversation, you want to engage in character assassinations, ad hominems, straw man arguments, random insults, and excessive profanity, things of that sort, I'm going to let you know right now. You best hang up or I'm going to hang up for you. So having said all that, don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Let's go to the phones. And when did they start putting this little raise hand emoji in the queue? First time I saw that was last week. But anyway, let me go. Hello, welcome to the show.
Well, you know, when I heard the sound, I had to run up here. If I queue in the fruit bat queue.
What's up, Bianchi?
Catching my breath. Hey, what's going on, Vincent? You know, man, I'm going to tell you, you really getting down with it. By the time you get done with your hour, ain't much left to comment on because you are covering it all.
I appreciate that.
And, you know, you talk about this Smollett. This is what you call black privilege. It's more to him than what meets the eye. And even the Los Angeles Times, it just wrote an article saying, Jussie Smollett is already disgraced. Does he really need to be in prison? This is by Granderson, whoever that is. See, I bet you, if you pull the curtains back, there sits Obama. I bet you. And I'm going to tell you.
You know what? You might have a point there.
Well, yeah. You know, even the chief of police in Chicago said that if he only had apologized, he would have let him go. You remember that police chief?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who was fired because they found him drunk in his car and passed out?
Yeah. Yep.
That Beetlejuice fired and didn't want to give him his pension?
My goodness.
Know who Beetlejuice is, don't you?
Yeah, Lightfoot. Yeah.
Glory Lightfoot. But wait a minute. Maybe that's why come he got fired. Because he did not let Jussie go.
Yep.
Then you have Kim Fox, who's going to recuse herself, didn't want to prosecute her. This is a black government in Chicago, in Illinois, the second in command, lieutenant governor, is a black woman.
Yep.
The chief cop in the state, Muhammad, is a black man. Secretary
yep.
of State, a black man. Kim Fox, first female black woman prosecutor, Cook County, black. See, it just goes on and on. Beetlejuice, first female mayor of Chicago, black. It just goes on and on and on and on. In 6 months in Chicago, you only had over 3,000 shootings, blacks on blacks, with 395 murders. In 6 months, Vincent, only
six months.
Is that not terrorism? Are those
sounds
not
like
hate crimes? So when a black man shooting another black man, and if he's doing it, he call on the nigga. Is that not a hate crime?
I mean, really? I mean, let's just lay it all on the table.
You're damn right. Then he come up with these ridiculous, and it goes to show you how terrible the education system is, not only in that city, but across the country with this public schools.
Yeah.
This fool says that these white, he tried to denigrate white males, associating them with Trump. It just great. It really is a insult to me because I was a MAGA supporter, saying that they had on MAGA hats. Ain't no white person in their right mind gonna be walking around Chicago at 2 o'clock in the morning, especially in this. That was January 29th, 2019,
wasn't it? Yeah, that was. I think that's around the coldest time in Chicago. Ain't no.
Oh, but wait a minute. It was the coldest day in Chicago in 34 years. The 29th and 30th. So he says that these people threw liquid on him. Liquid bridge. You ever seen on YouTube where you have people take boiling water? And on cold days like it was, throw it up in the air, and before it hits the ground, it turns to ice.
Yeah, that's how cold it was.
Bleach freezes at 19 degrees Fahrenheit. I learned that in the great educational systems we had back in the day. Not the stuff they got today. So when somebody makes statements like that, the mentality based on the education that these people in America are receiving today, especially in these public schools, that just flies right over their head. Oh, he was trying to turn Jussie Smollett white, well, bleaching skin. Then you had these others, those Maxine Waters, Booker, Pelosi.
I think Michelle Harris had gotten in a few shots too.
All of them trying to take up for this scum.
Yeah.
Talking about his, what is it? What kind of high-tech lynching? And you know what he had around his neck? Some damn, basically some kite string.
Yeah.
Then the fool's going to write a check.
For $3,500 for the muscle-bound,
And see, we're not getting that back to Nigeria for being embarrassing to Nigeria. They could have got killed. Nigeria don't play.
No.
That's why Nigerian got rid of so many of their bad blood and sent them to America to become slaves. They didn't want them.
Yeah.
People don't like to talk about that, but it's true. They got rid of their riffraff. Not all of them were. But it sure in the hell wasn't no whites going into the interior region of Africa stealing no damn body. That's a damn myth.
No, that's a myth that needs to be done away with.
And you got fools around here talking about, well, they don't want us to know. They don't want to know our history about slavery. Yeah, right. Where are you going to start at? What point? From A to Z, you want to start at J. Well, what about
all those
little stuff? Huh?
Yes.
So I don't know. And if blacks are doing so bad here in America, why don't they form a caravan and head on down to Guatemala? Like Guatemala's are heading up here because it's so damn good to them.
I mean, really?
You made mention of
Nigeria. And that's
what
I was telling
people
the other day. I was talking to my wife the other day because those of you all who know me, my wife is from Liberia. And in their country, a white person is not allowed to become a citizen, and even if you're born there. And now, that's racist to me. I mean, how come you don't want white people to become citizens? I guess they're afraid that if we get too many white people here, they'll start selling us into slavery again, into America,
Well, that's the way the country was set up. That's the way that set aside was set up there under Monroe. But if that's what they were, if that's how they want to run their country, leave them alone. That's what they want to do.
And I'm like, that's the thing too, because I'm like, don't come over here talking about how racist America is, because you got a lot of Liberians over here that talk about America like a dog. And I'm like, well, what about your country where you all won't even allow white people to be a citizen? You know, so don't come over here talking about how bad America is and everything. And you're living it up and you're making money. You're sending money back to your family in Liberia and everything. Don't come over here bad mouthing America. Because your own country, they got some issues to deal with too. Like talk about that doggone Liberian dollar over there. They're back using American dollars over there because their dollar is so messed up. I think
dealing with General Butt Naked.
Yeah, I think 5,000 Liberian dollars is worth to $50. Or I need to check that out. But it's
well, you have to have a dump truck to take money to the bank. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but blacks could go to Liberia. You know, they tried it in the late 1700s, about 300 of them, who after about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months was dead because of the disease, communicable. It wasn't nothing special. It was just that they was American and didn't have that type of immune system. They tried it in the early 1800s. Mm-hmm.
Not only that, the ones that did go back to Liberia, they turned around and made slaves of the native Liberians.
Oh, yeah. That's just like that Sentu in the movie Amistad. As soon as he got his butt back to Sierra Leone, he started dealing in slaves. It was a profitable business.
Yeah. So I don't want to hear this thing about slavery and all this and everything. And you have just as much blame in the slave trade as anybody else, you know. From what I heard about North Carolina, here in North Carolina where I live, they said there were more black slave traders than there were white ones.
They had upwards of over 30,000 slaves on their plantation. And then guess who? And then when they ran away, guess who they hired to go after them? The Seminole Indians.
Well,
people say, oh, that ain't true. Well, hell, you say the reason why come whites didn't enslave Indians because they could run away. They knew the land. So why wouldn't they not make good slave catchers, dummies?
I mean, really?
And they became very profitable off of it.
Oh, yeah.
The slave catcher, the Seminole.
And they were the last ones to free their slaves, too. Even after the Emancipation Proclamation, you still had Indians who owned slaves into the 1880s.
Well, yeah, the Indians were not – Indians are – they were sovereign countries. Lincoln had no authority over them. And besides that, they wouldn't free nobody for – they were not giving up their property unless you paid for them. compensating for what they had invested in that property. And that's what they said. The last payment went to, I believe, the Cherokee or the Creek in 1952. In 1979, either the Creek or the Choctaw, 1979-1982, they expelled all those blacks who say they were descended from the Freeman. Last Freeman died in the early 1900s. So they say, well, we descended of the Freeman, so we should be able to inherit what they had coming. Well, that's up to them tribes. If they don't want to do that, they ain't going to do it. That's their country.
Yeah, that's a sovereign nation. Someone
can't tell them jack.
Yeah.
So, you know, you make some points there. And all this turn the head when certain people do it and ride it to death when other people do it is just crazy. They say that you have 89 Muslims elected in 2020. In 2021, wow, it was 11 elected. And now they're calling for more than 200 to be elected in 2022. Man, what does that sound like to you?
Yeah. Take over a nation without firing a shot, basically.
Did you check your mailman lately?
You know what? Now that you said that, yeah. Hold on right there. I got another caller here. Let me get this other caller.
Uh-oh.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man, where my fruit bat siren at?
Hey, Sarge. Come on in.
Oh, Brother Bianchi, I love what you got to say. All I can ever do when you're on the air is simply to add to what you have to say, and I hope I can say something that is as illustrative and relevant. And, I'd like to piggyback on what you said about when you're talking about Justice Smollett, and you pointed out how loathsome, what a loathsome little creep he is. But it's worse than that. Now, we know what he is. He's a product of his environment. He lives in the Hollywood media bubble where they all congratulate each other how wonderful they are. They tell themselves that they're fighting for righteous causes as they toady up to the most evil totalitarian regime on the planet, Red China, and they countenance the killing of millions of babies. But Lord have mercy, do they have all the moral high ground on everything. Everything. I mean, it is absolutely the most moral people ever live. And they tell themselves this all the time. And they say things like, well, I don't know how Trump could have won the election. Nobody I know would vote for him. And they believe it. And they reinforce their own conceits, their own prejudices. So it's not surprising that this solipsistic narcissist would only think the world revolves around him, his perceptions, and what he thinks everyone else should think about him. That is unsurprising. It is what we should expect. But here's what is worse than him. All of the Cosmic Netty, all of the elite members of the cacistocracy who got up there and said things like the head cacistocrat, Joe Biden, what happened to Jussie Smollett must never be tolerated in this country. Kamala Harris, this was attempted modern-day lynching. Nancy Pelosi, the racist homophobic attack on Jussie Smollett is an affront to our humanity. Elizabeth Warren, the fight for equality isn't over. No one should have to live in fear of being beaten on the street because of who they are. Bernie Sanders, the racist and homophobic attack on Jussie Smollett is a horrific instance of the surging hostility toward minorities across the country. Cory Booker, the vicious attack on actor Jussie Smollett was an attempt at modern-day lynching. I'm glad he's safe. Christian Gillibrand, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Eric Swalwell, Al Sharpton, Nicole Hannah-Jones, Brian Stelter, John Legend, Andy Coulter, Shonda Rhimes, DeRay McKissick, Reese Witherspoon, all of them saying stuff like that in a similar vein. All of the elite, all of the hoity-toity, all of the high and mighty, all of them bought it hooked, line and sinker, and uncritically let they do everything that reinforces, supports, and extends their worldview and their particular agenda. It's like they do that with every, and that's the worst part of this. Not Jussie. Jesse's relatively minor player in the overall scheme of things. This other stuff, it is emblematic and symptomatic of what we have to deal with, or we have to extirpate root and branch from our public life if we're going to get back to a constitutional reality, e pluribus unum. You know, the whole idea of that, we're going to get back to that, back to a constitutional understanding. These people have to be gone. They've got to be gotten rid of, or we'll never get it again.
That's true. That is, oh, my goodness. You know, and, and you know, really, we need to tear down. We need to tear down. Well, first of all, oh gosh, I lost my thought again. I'm starting to lose my thought lately. Here with the past couple of weeks, I don't know. Maybe I need some more sleep or whatever. But the thing that bothers me the most in all of this is, and see, like I don't know what you all what your faith is or anything like that, but I'm a born again Christian, and when I see people who call themselves Christians, you know, especially black people call themselves Christians, and they go right along with the same line that the social justice elites go along, I have a problem with that, you know. And when you can sit there and see the truth, I mean, you know the truth, but you still want to go along the line of, oh, the white man is holding us down, and we go to financial institutions and we get turned down. Let me tell you why you get turned down, because your credit is bad. They're not turning you down simply because you're black. There are white people that get turned down at the financial institutions, you know. And see, a lot of these people, they're a bunch of Marty McFlys. They want to go back into the 50s and the 60s in their time-traveling DeLoreans and bring all that crap up to till today, and it's not working. But they still, how did you tell a lie long enough and people are starting to believe it? That is so true. And now we're living in a world where everyone's like, oh, yeah, the United States is full of white supremacists. We got, you know, we got to tear down white supremacy, and you know, they're keeping us down. And everyone, and I'm sitting there like, y'all actually believe this garbage? I don't understand you folks. I really don't. You know,
man. You know, Vince. Look, I grew up in a time when you didn't see hardly any black people on TV ever, unless they were maybe in the backgrounds of some shots for something, for some news program or something. You didn't see them. Black people literally non-existent. I'd be watching movies on World War II, and I knew my father was a combat infantry veteran of heavy fighting in Italy, and I didn't see any black soldiers. And I said, where's the black soldiers? I know my father was one of them. He got a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star and a combat infantry badge. How come I don't see none of him? I had all my relatives from World War II. I didn't see none of them in the movies, nothing else. None of the TV stuff. I go watch comedians and see musicians on all these black musicians I'm listening and enjoying to. I don't see none of them on TV. Where black people at? You know? Because they literally weren't there. It's like we were just like invisible people. Now, that was then. Now, I tell you right now, I watch TV now. And, man, you, especially when you watch commercials, you would think the country was 70% black people. I swear to God,
yeah,
you would. I mean, it literally, I mean, the most non-existent person today in American commercial TV is a white, clearly heterosexual male. They're just about non-existent now. It's white women, it's black women, it's black men, it's Asian men, it's interracially married couples. You know, that's all you see. You don't see any white straight men. They're most of the men in the country. That's why I used to think it was just me. So I said, wait a minute. So I'm watching a lot more TV these days, you know, being inside now and all that. And it's not a lot of places closed down I normally would go to, a lot of things, activities. So I'm watching a lot more TV. And I'm really noticing. So one day I just sat down and said, wait a minute. Now, if I tell somebody this, they're going to tell me that, oh, you just want to go back to the old days and you just make things up. So I decided to keep a log. While I'm watching TV, see, does this log match up with my perceptions? And I take a note of the advertiser and the actors depicted. And I did this for a week. And I swear to God, I literally added it up. And you would think if you were a visitor from outer space, over 70% of the people in the United States were black.
Yeah.
I swear.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, because, you know, you got to, with some people, if you make an argument, you got to be able to back it up factually, because they never have to. Some people, you know, the left never has to be factually correct. With you, though, they demand every jot, tittle, and period be absolutely corroborated and documented. And even then, they don't believe it.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I did it. And I swear, man, I've never seen anything like this, what's going on today. I mean, it's like, it's amazing. I mean, I guess they don't think people buy stuff or something. I don't know what it is. Black people don't buy things? Black people, and they got to make more of an appeal to black people for consumer products? No, I think it's something else entirely. I really do.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of it is really healthy. I don't think any of this is really healthy. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's not healthy.
Yeah. And if they really want to make things more appealing to black people, won't you bring back Uncle Ben and the Cream of Wheat Man and Aunt Jemima, you know?
Yeah, but see, they're saying, but they're saying this is a white supremacist country in the midst of all of this going on. What big city police department these days doesn't have to have a black police chief? Tell me. Name one.
Yeah.
They're not many.
I mean, really.
Name one.
Nah, they – yeah, even here in Durham, we got a black chief of police, you know.
how many big city blue cities in the United States don't have black mayors? Name them. How many blacks are there? Where's this white supremacy these people keep bleeding about?
Yeah. What was up with that chief in Chicago saying he would have let Smollett go if he apologized?
Another selective law enforcement cop. That's all we need. Yeah, right. Hey, look, okay. You understood at least the guy was guilty, okay? He understood that at least. For him to say that I believe in selective enforcement, all you got to do is apologize after you've tied up tens of thousands of dollars of my resources. Detectives who could have been working on homicide cases or busting gangbangers or catching serious burglars. No, that bastard needs to pay for what he did. He needs to be prosecuted. And if a jury finds him guilty, let his ass be sentenced. See, this is one thing about leftists. Wherever you find Democrats, they are selective in what they do. They're all into January 6th and the insurrection.
Yeah.
But they're completely ignoring 573 riots throughout the city, many of them directed at federal property, you know, like the Capitol building. And they're utterly uninterested in forming a congressional investigation into the same. Ain't that a bitch?
Well, you know, you talk about racism amongst blacks. Look at the Congressional Black Caucus. They won't let a white representative of a majority black district become a member, like Steve Corn in Shelby County, Tennessee, 5th Congressional District.
Well, they're worried he might be a white supremacist in disguise, so they can't let him in.
Oh, well, wait a minute now. They won't let a black Republican congressperson join either.
Well, he's definitely a white supremacist. There you go. That's understandable.
You guys, hold on. I got another caller coming in. Let me get this caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon to you.
Thank you. If I may, I wanted to bring up also what's happening in parts of Africa with China basically taking over. Chinese have been known not to like black people. And yet the Africans are welcoming them in because they have money, they're investing, but they're not, I don't think they realize, basically, unless they do, they're corrupt, their government, just like most governments with countries, but they're hurting their people by taking that money and basically enslaving them in that respect. While it looks good on the surface, they're importing China, importing so many things from their country into Africa, that basically the things that people would make or have in small businesses is putting them out of business. So it's hurting them in that respect. And, you know, nobody's talking about it. Nobody's saying anything about it, you know, and it just bothers me to know that the people in Africa, South Africa, other parts of Africa, you know, Northern Africa, the specific parts that are resource heavy, that China's focusing on. Why are they being allowed to be consumed by China? You know,
Well, that's the leadership in those countries, ma'am.
It's the leadership.
Did you know that the British spent money, lives, and resources to end slavery, indigenous slavery in Ghana? They've done it for 120 years trying to end it. They didn't do so until 1928, going into the early 1930s. In the Northern Protectorate, and especially amongst the Akan, are better known as the Ashanti. So that's what's been going on. Whites didn't come down into Africa looking for people. They didn't come down into Africa stealing folks. That's literally impossible. Matter of fact, Africa taught the world slavery. And matter, if you were to look and do the tracing, you probably could trace back some of these leaders whose families were enriched from selling off their riffraff for various reasons. Surely to the east, to the Arabs. Arabs didn't walk way the heck down into no Central Africa to take slaves out. They had to be transported out to the East Coast. And I know for sure, my wife is from the Volta region with the Akamu, and they were fighting the Ashanti. And if somebody got caught, they were going to be sold into slavery. They were either going to pay for the damages they'd done, they were going to be sold in order to recoup for the damages they'd done, or they were going to be killed. So that's the leadership.
Does the British government have that much power that the people won't rise up, you know, to put an end to it, or you know, are they?
They tried that in Cote d'Ivoire with Alassane Ouattara coming out of Burkina Faso, and the other guy, Gbagbo, who they end up putting him in jail in one of the European countries, one of the countries in Europe. I can't think of the name of it. So that's when the people tried to rise up. France assisting them, help. Matter of fact, France bombed the Air Force, the planes that they had in the Air Force in Cote d'Ivoire that they had just recently sold them.
And if I can say something on that too, if you would talk to some of the Africans over there, they really would tell you to stop trying to help them, because basically when we send their resources over to them, it goes to a lot of their leaders, and their leaders don't share that with the general population.
Right. Well, that's what I'm talking about.
My wife,
as far as.
China. I don't know if you all remember. Well, of course, everybody probably remembers USA for Africa back in 1984, when all the artists got together and they made that album, and they said, "Yeah, you know, we are the world," and all that. And we
Michael
looked at
Jackson
that thing like
together.
It was such a like it was a good thing. Oh man, they doing this and they raising millions. Now, first of all, most of those people in USA for Africa, they were already millionaires. So why couldn't they put in a couple of million apiece and send it over to Africa? I think they raised like $1.6 million to get food to send to Ethiopia. And
yeah,
when
Michael
Jackson
had coordinated it.
Yeah. And when they sent that food to Ethiopia, they just dropped it onto the tarmac at their airport. They just, oh, look, the food has arrived. But the people didn't get the food. Their leaders got it. Their leaders were like, oh, thank you all. Thank you all. Yeah, we are the world. But the people didn't get that food. And everyone's sitting there like, oh, yeah, they did us such a good thing and everything. And a lot of people over there, they're like, y'all, please stop trying to help us, because the resources are not getting to us. They're getting to our leaders, and it's strengthening them. And this is the main reason why a lot of the people, they really can't rise up against their leaders, because their leaders have all the resources because of all the money that we send over there. And like I said before, my wife is from Liberia, and talking about the Chinese, she has a brother who worked over there. And they were helping to build roads or something like that. And he fell down. He had to get stitches. And I think they fired him. because he couldn't work anymore. And he said these people really don't care about us. People die. They have no safety regulations or anything. They just want to come in here, use our resources, and just leave. You know.
Well, you know, China don't get involved with the internal government like the West does.
No.
But when the West get involved in the internal government, well, they want to change things, have same-sex marriage, abortion on demand, and all that crazy stuff like you seen coming out of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and even before that.
Yeah.
Now, you know the funny thing. Donald Trump made it possible for Nigeria to get the technology that they were trying to get from Obama in order to fight the incursion of terrorists in the form of Boko Haram. When Libya was overthrown, the weapon cast of Libya started filtering down into Mali, Niger, and even, well, Niger is right there next to Nigeria, but it was coming down through with the Tuareg and other factions. Those weapon caches will soon be displaced throughout these factions in Africa, and down especially in Central Africa, Uganda, the Congo. And like we say, in northern Nigeria and Niger, now you're really going to have some problems. Trump gave them the technology that they wanted. Obama refused. He cited human rights abuses, that is, a same-sex marriage and abortion on demand.
Yep, certainly did. And not only that, they say they're going to withdraw the funds from those countries that didn't support abortion. And
Nigeria,
you've got to be kidding me.
And all them countries told Obama to go to hell, Hillary too.
Yeah.
But the Chinese, the countries that's going to be probably leading and doing a major progress in Africa are going to be Nigeria. They got the intelligence and the people. They're going to have a population. They have the second largest population on the planet at the turn of this century, only behind India, surpassing China.
And while we're on that subject of China, I would recommend people check out a website called ChinaOwnsUs.com. Check that site out. They got some PDFs on there, and they got a lot of information about China, how China's affecting the drug trade, how they're affecting Hollywood, how they're affecting basically trade and everything. And I would advise people, recommend you really check that out, ChinaOwnsUs.com, and you'll see how China's basically gotten its tendrils all around the world. You know, even here in the U.S., they even influence policy here. So, you know.
Belt and Road Initiative.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They have spies. The technology that they have brought forth is really nothing more than a mimic of that which you see in the United States. China is an enemy of the U.S.
And their Confucius Institutes and all that.
Well, sure. In fact, you know, China, yes, has its cause everywhere, but, you know, there's, besides the resources, China controls Africa. They also have a hand in making them vote the way they want to vote with UN, diplomatic business. They can basically leverage them to do that as well. And now China also recently seeks to put an Atlantic base in West Africa. This came about. Yeah. And I'm not saying that the U.S. needs to go save Africa from China. I'm not even involving the U.S. as far as that goes. What I'm talking about is what we already said about the money going to the elitists, the government, and the people suffering. And that's what I was talking about. Hear Black Lives Matter and the whole slavery thing, and they were brought here from their home country, their native countries, and they were never able to go back, and that was a lie. But nevertheless, if that matters so much, I don't see any protests in the streets against China.
No, it's China, not. Then they talk about that stuff about how blacks got here, too, is partially a lie, too. But blacks in America are United States citizens. They're not African. They can say they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, right, exactly.
And Black Lives Matter don't give a damn about that. They do what they want. And they don't represent all black people. That is an insult on many. You know, just all of a sudden say, I represent you. And we have seen that in this country in the past with many groups. Many groups have claimed to be, well, I'm the spokesperson for black people. Yeah, right. Some blacks don't even know who the hell you are.
Well, I tell you what, I wish they pay more attention to when they talk about representing black people and black people's desires, when black people are consistently shown in poll after poll after poll after poll after poll that they don't want the police presence in their neighborhoods lowered. I wish they'd pay more attention to that, because that is a fact. Yeah. You ought to talk to the average black person out there facing an onslaught of violent crime, drug dealing, and chaos in their neighborhood. The last thing they want to see is less police.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another thing, too. It's always this stuff about white police officers are going to kill you. That has been propagated by your politicians like your Maxine Waters, your Bookers, and others. And now it's starting to settle in some of these kids' minds. They believe that, and they act out on it when they come in contact with police. Whatever happened to the old-fashioned way that comply with authority? If you don't comply with authority in the household, then you go to school. You don't comply and respect authority in school. Well, what the heck do you think is going to happen when those individuals work their way out on the street? They're not going to comply with authority. What's wrong with just doing like authority asks you to do?
Yeah.
Well, so that's also trickling into the white community as well, as far as the younger generations coming up. But yes, I especially in the black community, and it's tied with the black community to if you respect authority, if you bow down to authority, then you're a slave. And it's like, why do you have to associate the two? I don't understand that, as far as, you know, yes, there was authority over slaves. But you know what I mean? As far as that why does it have to be current day if
you
respect authority?
Well, I tell you
authority.
Why, because you
not
look at some
authority.
Of the black people they're putting in positions of authority. I will refer you to a woman. Her name is Rachel, but I call her Rachel Collins. She's just been appointed as the United States Attorney for the District of Massachusetts. Are you guys familiar with this woman?
No. I know you've been informed.
Well, she's an interracial black woman, apparently. Well, you know, if you're interracial, you're supposed to disregard the white part of them and just say they're black. Her father was Irish. Her mother's a black American woman. All right? Anyway, she got appointed to be the U.S. District Attorney. Every Republican, looking at her record and her temperament, voted against her. Every Democrat voted for her. And the tiebreaker was Kamala Harris, so she got the job. Before she got confirmed, there was an incident in which she was involved in a road rage incident where apparently she got to hollering and exchanging words with some woman who was alarmed by her behavior and the fact that she had strobe lights on a vehicle like a police officer and threatened to write the woman a ticket over some minor disagreement, really minor. This woman was alarmed and called the police. The police responded and investigated, found out that it was the district attorney, the Massachusetts district attorney, Rachel Collins. And a reporting outfit. Now, remember now, she may be a prosecutor, but she's not a law enforcement official. She's not supposed to have police lights on her vehicle, okay?
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean? She's a law enforcement official, but she doesn't have the kind of authority to pull cars over and all that stuff. That's not where her purview is. She ain't a sworn police officer. But anyway, a news team decided to investigate this and ask her about the road rage incident and the allegations of the things the woman said, because she threatened to make the woman with some kind of official action for almost nothing. And reporters asked this woman what she was doing, and she said, "You're doing this to me and coming here in front of my house, and people might cause my children to be killed, and you're doing this to me as a black woman?" And then she went on to say, when the reporters just tried to, you know, calm down and say, "Look, we're only investigating this. We're news reporters. This is a public street. We're on the public street. We're not on your property. We just want to ask you questions. We're not taking pictures of your house." Then she went off even further. You mean you're going to accept some crazy rantings of some white woman?
You're right.
You know, I'm saying to myself, you know, we're talking here now. You know, no, this is a white supremacist nation. A black woman ain't even supposed to aspire to be a United States attorney for a major state on the Eastern Seaboard. But here she is,
yep.
And not only that, she's up for asserting her black skin privilege while she does it.
And look at Mary Berry's wife. Marion Barry's wife, didn't she say F white women in some interview
mm-hmm.
or something of that
yeah,
nature?
Yeah, she knew she's up there hanging
yep.
out with Kamala.
Yep.
Wow. I tell you. Let me get this last caller in. Yeah, because I got a few minutes left. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Mr. Benson? I'm enjoying your show, and just keep on keeping on.
Okay, I appreciate that idea.
Happy holidays to you, sir.
Likewise, happy holidays to all of you.
Take care, brother.
Happy holidays.
And really, to be specific, Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Amen. Can I say that?
Yeah. You can say that on there.
Yeah,
show.
But
yeah.
You know what the thing to do? Just sit back and watch. You know, sit back and watch and read and listen. Look out is when they describe a white person that does something to a black person. They specifically use those adjectives in the news write-up. White cop shoots black man. But if it's the other way around, you think we didn't have any adjectives in our language.
Yeah, and they capitalize the word black in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah. And they describe white with a lowercase. I noticed that too.
Yeah.
None
of this is an accident.
No. And
we don't condone divisiveness. I tell people that we talk about human nature, basically. All around the world, atrocities that happen, you talk about human beings. But see, in this country here, with this news media and this left and this CRT and the downing the white males, calling the white supremacists and white nationalists and all this stuff, that there is a movement that's been going on for quite some time to destroy the fabric of the United States. And we need to open our eyes and take it as it is and handle it like we should.
Isn't it amazing that all these apostles of destroying the white supremacist system, at the first opportunity they get, they assume all of the trappings and privileges of the white supremacist system? I refer you to Patrice Kallura's Black Lives Matter. I refer you to Barack Hussein Obama with a $17 million mansion in Martha's Vineyard on the lakefront, which I guess is going to be immune to the rising oceans. I refer you to Maxine Waters. I refer you to all of these various cacistocrats, of which there are legions of them, all of them denouncing white supremacy, all of them eager to assume the trappings, privileges, and appurtenances thereof at the first opportunity they get. It's amazing, isn't it?
And look how they attack black conservatives like ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, it's really amazing, you know, and it just reveals the hypocrisy and that's apparent in a lot of them, that, you know, me and mine, but then you get a leg up and you start treating people the same way you say people are treating you. You know, it's like, well, what were you really fighting for? Oh, you just wanted to get to you were basically, it's a spirit of jealousy. You know, you just wanted to get what that person had. So you come up, make some false accusations. They're racist, yada, 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 and everything. And then you get to their point, you know, and you do the same thing.
Yeah. And some of these people are the most privileged and powerful in society. And the first opportunity they get, they use their influence and their power and their privilege to attack amongst the most least powerful and least influential people in the society, like Kyle Rittenhouse, on no evidence whatsoever.
Exactly.
On no basis whatsoever.
Let this lady have the last word, because you got about 4 minutes. I'm just going to say this. Whites have been conditioned to become paralyzed when they hear the word racism. They pee down both legs into their boots. And that there is ridiculous. They need to stop that. And one other thing, man, it's going to be a real good conservative show come on about 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, UAW. You're welcome. A lot of ladies there, too.
All right, I'll be there.
All right.
Go ahead, ma'am. You can have it.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, you know, I agree with you, and you got to call it out. I have a show, and when on my show, I will call it out every now and then if it comes up. Like, for instance, what you had just said. If a bag of money had dropped on a doorstep of somebody that's been shouting out oppression, you know they're going to take that bag of money and run and not look back. You know, that's just the way, that's human nature for some, mm-hmm. for most, I guess you could say. And that's just the facts of it. As far as oppression goes, there's so much oppression that white people won't even speak out these days because they are for fear that they'll be called racist. You know, if they're secure in who they are and they know what's going on, then they want it to stop, then they have to start saying something about it. And that's just what you said as far as that's it. Otherwise, it's just going to get worse. And
So,
I appreciate you all, and I'll try and be there. Go ahead.
Before you go, how does it feel to be the lone white woman among four other black men?
How does it feel to be? I don't know. It's fine. We're just having a conversation. Good. I'm feeling good. Happy holidays.
Don't worry. We accept you as our intellectual equal.
Well, yeah. Thank you. I just feel so privileged now.
I like that. I'm gonna try to see if I can find that. What's the name of that show again, Pianki?
UAW.
Oh, the Pianki League. UAW
at the 8 o'clock.
But I leave
Central thing. You got it?
Okay. Yeah, I got you.
Thank you, Vincent, for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for coming on.
Yes. And thank of course, Pianki and Sarge and Iredale. Thank you all for coming on the show and making the show the way it is. You all, I was checking out stats the other day, and I'm not a person who's about stats. You know, I don't do this show because I'm looking for a large audience or anything, although that would be good. But I noticed that most weeks I am the most watched show during that week. And, you know, I feel, you know, I just feel honored for that. And I thank you guys for bringing the information on here that you all do, because I don't think the show would be as well watched if it wasn't for you guys. So I just want to say I appreciate you guys coming on here and giving your $2.50 worth of regular recording. And y'all just keep doing what you're doing and everything. Sarge, keep hitting them encyclopedias.
Well, you keep
hitting
out the
truth. What you're doing, man. We need this platform. We need these voices, and we need this information, man. We can't let them one-side us out of the picture and elbow us off the table. You can't allow it.
Yeah, you just keep putting out the fruit bat alarm, and we'll show up.
Now, that's supposed to scare away fruit bats, not bring them on, but y'all not fruit bats, though. See, that's the thing.
All right, I'll see you guys next week.
All right. Next week.
Bye.
Okay, yeah, I should do a show next week. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you all. Next week, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only. My wife and I, we're getting ready to go to Washington, D.C. for the next couple of days. We got to take care of some business up there, but we will be back long before next Saturday. But thank you all. Thank you all for coming on the show. Thank you. Bring it, Boye, in the chat room. Always a pleasure. You all enjoy this holiday season, and God willing, should have another edition of Black by Color Only next weekend. You all take care of yourselves. This is Bethany Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I will see you on the rebound. You all take care of yourselves out there.